Welcome. Thank you so much for joining us today right here on The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z. And we're bringing you this show live this morning. We're right here on Progressive Radio Network, PRN.FM, every Tuesday, 10 to 11 a.m. We're so happy to join with you. We have so many classes going on, both on ground, where you can meet with myself and Dr. Eugene Zamperone in person. Last year, when we did our herbal day, which takes a whole day, we go out in the field, we gather wild, edible, and medicinal plants, and we make them into herbal medicine, and you go home with your own medicine. So the class is from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. That's happening in June. And we actually had people driving in and flying in even from all around to attend that class because we do that once a year. But every single day, we do have something going on. For instance, we have a trip to Chinatown where we spend a day learning about traditional Chinese medicine right in the field in Chinatown. And then every day we have an online class. Many nurses, nutritionists, health professionals take our classes in career paths in natural health so that they learn how to incorporate things like herbs, homeopathics, reflexology, energy medicine, all kinds of natural techniques, and actually make it part of your, not only your own personal lifestyle, but your profession, what you are offering people. And non-licensed personnel also study with us and find that there's all kinds of paths to doing natural as part of your career. For instance, getting involved in the huge growing nutritional industry, or becoming a holistic esthetist. I just had several women go through and get their esthetist license, which is a very powerful license, and then choose to use all organic and natural skin therapeutics. So there are many paths. You can go to naturalnurse.com, click on classes, and you'll see the up-and-coming classes. And by the way, they have CE credits. Those are professional credits for anyone who is a nurse, nurse practitioner, massage therapist, acupuncturist, registered dietitian, a licensed clinical nutritionist, and you can take the class and you don't have to get the credit. So it's open to everyone. We'd love to hear from you. Today, we are so happy to have as our guest, Dr. Dolores Fazio. Dr. Fazio is a nurse practitioner and an energy medicine specialist, and a distinguished pioneer bridging the world of spirituality and wellness with energy medicine. With over 40 years of experience in the healthcare industry, she has assisted with 10,000 surgical procedures and is a gifted energy healer and visionary. Dr. Fazio believes healing is a multifaceted process. She is the president of Spiritual Wellness for Life and the president of Recovering Healthcare. And she is also the founder of Concierge Surgical Coaching. She has written many books, and her latest book is Sensitive People's Manual to Thriving on Earth, What About Me? An Empath, Intuitive, and Highly Sensitive People's Manual to Thriving on Earth. That's coming out soon. So thank you so much for being our guest today, Dr. Fazio.
Thank you so much. I appreciate being there. And my last name's Fazino.
Fazino. Thank you for correcting me.
Now, no worries.
may I call you Dr. Dolores for our show?
Absolutely. Please do.
Now, could you tell me what the best, because I notice you have several websites, but what is the best one for our listeners to note?
The best one would be the recoveringhealthcare.com.
Excellent. And I'll be looking at that on and off during our show today. Now, you are actually a perfect example of what I was talking about, and that is a highly trained, licensed professional who also incorporates natural in terms of spirituality and energy medicine. So how did that happen for you personally?
Oh my gosh, I'm going to have to go back to my early years. Oh, excellent. Well, you know, thank you for asking me that, because I find that each one of us has like a pivotal point in our lives where we're on a certain path, and then all of a sudden something in it, we change our trajectory. And so for me, growing up, I've always been an empath, intuitive, and highly sensitive person to begin with, and my parents didn't know what to do with me because I grew up in an environment where if you expressed your emotions or you were upset about something, the response was ignore it, it'll go away. And I'm like, it's not going away and it's still here. But, you know, to go even further, my dad, I was on a path to become a concert clarinetist, believe it or not. And in the 11th hour in school, I decided to become a nurse. And this is what happened. Back in the early 60s or the mid 60s, I would guess, 1966, my dad had gone to a driving range and threw out his back and needed to have back surgery in 1966. Well, you don't think too much about the circumstances of 1966, but being in the hospital at that time was not a very good thing because there was a lot of hospital acquired infections that would happen, or, you know, sterility mechanisms and the way that they sterilized surgical instruments was questionable when you look back in time, but they were doing the best they could at the time with what they had. Long story short, my father picked up a hospital acquired infection during that surgery and was on his deathbed, basically, in the hospital. And it took him over 2 months to recover from that. So when he came home, he looked like a shell of a man that I remember. He was about 5'10". And before he went to the hospital, he was about 180 pounds. When he came home, he was like 126. I thought I was revisiting something from a concentration camp. It was scarier than you could believe because being intuitive, I knew something was up, but I didn't have privy to a lot of, you know, physical information of being in the hospital and seeing what was going on, because at that time, they didn't let children in the hospital to see their parents. So thank God things have changed since then. But anyway, flash forward, he recovered from that. And then 4 years later in 1970, when his immune system got compromised, all of a sudden he would get deathly ill. He would develop abscesses throughout his abdominal cavity and be septic, have to be in the hospital for 2 months having a surgery and draining those abscesses. And he was on his deathbed once again. And he would recover. This happened a total of four different times between 1970 and the fall of 1975. So for me, funneling my emotion into music was my therapy, if you want to say that, and I really excelled at that. Now, what was happening with my dad at the time, the CAT scanner just got introduced in 1975, so they put my dad in through the CAT scanner, and it was determined through that diagnosis that where the infection was coming from was where he had his previous back surgery back in 1966. So their solution to the problem was that he was going to need spinal fusion, you know, another back surgery, which at that time in 1975 was in its neophyte stages, and it came with a very high risk of 50% that you could pass away or, you know, die, and 50% chance that he could be paralyzed from his waist down for the rest of his life. And of course, that just, you know, scared my mother to pieces. And so my mother started exploring some other options. And she really, you know, was looking and explored, and she actually came across a gentleman who was a spiritual healer, a faith healer, if you want to call that. And he was a minister, a Presbyterian minister from Carroll, Michigan. His name was Reverend Alex Holmes, and he had the gift of hands-on healing, and had been very instrumental in the healings of many, many people. He had, you know, at the time that my mom connected with him, he was probably well into his practice at least 20 to 30 years. So she found out about him. And of course, my father didn't want to have a thing to do with that, because my dad was, you know, he believed that Western medicine, you know, was, had all the answers, and he basically gave his power over to that, which was okay at the time. But my dad said to my mom, when my mom presented the suggestion of having this healer come, well, check with the doctor, and if it's okay, I'll do it. So, of course, my father was in the hospital at the time, and my mom marched herself out of his room to the nurse's station where the surgeon happened to be sitting. And, you know, she went and talked to the surgeon, and she said to the surgeon, you know, doctor, I'm thinking about having a spiritual healer come in to assist my husband. Would that be okay? And the doctor's writing without missing a beat, looks up at her and said, sure, that would be fine. So my mom goes back to my dad's room and shared that news with my father. My father agreed. Not 10 minutes pass, my mom marches out back to the nurse's station, and the surgeon's still there, and she makes the announcement to the surgeon, my husband agreed to have the spiritual healer come in. And the surgeon looked up at her and said, what are you talking about? I never agreed to that.
Oh.
So we had some other interventions happening at the same time. It gets even better. So a month later, in January of 1976, Reverend Holmes flew from Michigan to Connecticut, where I grew up and where my parents and our family lived. And, you know, at that time, I believe I was 17. My brother was 16, my other sister 15, and the youngest one was 13. They waited for us to come home from school, and there was Reverend Holmes with my dad and mom and my two grandmothers. And so Reverend Holmes was this wonderful, he just had great energy about him. That's what I remembered about him. And he was just so humble and so practical. I don't know how he knew this about my father, because my dad was barefoot, but my dad had a leg length discrepancy by about an inch. And he had said to my father, Joe, which was my dad's name, put both your feet up. And when my dad put both his feet up, when he was sitting, there was an obvious 1-inch gap. And he put a book there so you could see it as well. And so he started saying prayers, and he touched my dad's solar plexus and his crown chakra. And not 2 minutes went by, and he said, you know, put your legs back up again. And they were both the same length. So in that moment, my life changed forever. My dad started bawling like a baby, like I've never seen him, because my dad was the type of guy that needed to have a demonstration to believe that anything was happening in the invisible, because many of us are like that as well. And so what had happened after that, I knew that I was on a path to become, you know, a concert clarinetist. And in that moment, I knew that my career was going to be something else. And I was supposed to assist others to see what can be done in the invisible, and that healing is more than what we can see. And it was going to be my life's mission to share that work with other people, but to also offer a bridge to other possibilities that we can't see in the physical. So what had happened for my dad at that time, he had another half hour session that continued, and he was instructed to go lie down, in which my dad slept for almost the next 24 hours because his energy field was like wide open. A month later, he went back to have a repeat CAT scan. They could find no evidence of the infection anywhere. And my dad never had to revisit that problem in his life ever again. And he passed away about 7 years ago at the age of 80.
Wow. That's an amazing story.
So that's how I got involved with this. And so I really love...
So wait a minute. Let me come in here a minute, Dolores.
Go ahead.
So the energy part came before the nursing part.
Oh, absolutely.
Right. So that's interesting.
Yeah. And it was just somehow, you know, how sometimes you just don't know. You know, it's hard to describe. When I look back on the situation, my music career was my therapy in order to express my emotion that I couldn't physically or audibly or orate. You know, I wasn't allowed to express my feelings, and this is how I was able to express my feelings. It was my therapy, really, to get through my childhood. So, you know, when people are artists or musicians, they really, that's the instrument they use to express their emotions, if they really are aligned with that. And I think that's such an important thing for us. It's an extension of who we are.
Yes, so much so. But I find that the person who is able to find, and I'll use a word here, I know you know what it means, their dharmic path, mm-hmm. really, and I feel I certainly have as well as you have, that's a wonderful way to use your life, because then yes. you're actually on your path. And what you find is that, you know, things come to you, things open, and it's less of a struggle.
I agree with you, and I have found that to be even more so later in my life, probably in the last 15 years for sure, because I think we all have a tendency sometimes to doubt ourselves or, you know, we question, and that's just part, sometimes that's just part of our path, and it, you know, you get another pieces of the puzzle as you're going along exploring. And, you know, when you get to have almost the 1,000-piece puzzle complete, it's like, you're like, oh, now I get it. Now I understand. Now I know why some of these things happened. And you could see the beauty in all of how it was so divinely guided. Yeah. You know what I'm talking about. I know that
one of the
sure.
things, one of the things that helps me see that continuity throughout life, because we don't, mm-hmm. not everything is always so obvious. I keep diaries since I'm a little girl, and there have actually been times when something will occur and I'll go, oh my God, that's the piece to this. And I'll look back, you know, four diaries ago, and the question came in then, like 10 years ago. And then the answer to that pattern exhibits itself years later. So when I get to a point like, I don't know about this step, I often just have faith.
Yes.
That it will become clearer later.
And, you know, I think that's a very, you know, having faith and a lot of blind trust. I think that's what it's really all about right now for everybody, because there's so much stuff happening. A lot of people are going through major, major shifts and changes. And yes, it can be scary, as you know, as you can imagine, because, you know, we're in uncharted territory. And sometimes when you know what you know what you know, and you're not seeing the physical evidence yet of it, that's where it's really that there's that gap in the pathway sometimes. And, you know, that faith and that wielding faith and trust is that, it's the etheric bridge that bridges that gap. So it's just, you know, knowing that, I always have this saying, the universe always has my back, and it does, because there's situations where I'm thinking like, okay, so what's next with this? And it's just like, I just have to know and believe that I will get the answer. And I do. And, you know, it's been a lifelong mission of just learning to trust that inner wisdom and inner knowingness that we all have. But sometimes we doubt it because we pop out of our bodies into our heads thinking we have to figure it out. There's nothing to figure out. Universe will provide the next steps for you if you just, you know, stay quiet and just know and trust.
Well, we know how you became, let's say, in touch with your spiritual and energy messages through that specific occurrence with your dad, but what led you to be a nurse? I mean, you are a top nurse. You're not just a LPN. You know, you went very far in your nursing practitioner education.
Yes, thank you. Thank you for honoring that. I appreciate that. I just knew, you know, in that moment, I just knew I needed to be a nurse. It was just like, it was this knowingness. And once I made that choice and I just knew that, you know, that gateway opened, I took a step through it. For me, it was like the most logical thing to do, because here you are with people, you're working with, you're touching lives. And I guess for me, on some innate level, it was about touching others' lives and making a difference. And I felt that was the way to do it. I just, you know, that was the next natural step for me, apparently. And it felt very comfortable.
Well, I want to have a shout out to people, because I think nursing is a phenomenal career choice on so many levels. Although many nurses share with me they're not really happy being within, let's say, the hospital system. But there's such a variety of things you can do. And I really want to encourage men to consider nursing, because it's great throughout your life. Like I am, let's say, you know, towards the end at this point, maybe I have a few years left, but, you know, I've done a whole big, long life so far. And nursing has been phenomenal during every part of it, as a young person, as a young mother, as, you know, through all the middle years. And I've done so many different things, and my focus is now really education. But you could work just part-time as a fill-in. You can do it full-time. You know, there's just such a wide variety. And you are, now, when you were going through your education, you were already energetically aware, as I was. I was an herbalist long before I was a nurse, and I delivered 200 babies at home long before I was a nurse. I was a nurse midwife in the 60s. So, you know, how did you, because young nurses ask me this, how did you get through the education when the education, I'm sure, was not focused on energy or even very much on healing?
Well, you know, I'm close to 60 now. And so looking back at it as an 18-year-old, back then, being just on the verge of that, it's like you knew what you needed to do. And we've always been in a society where it's about doing. You just did whatever you needed to do to get it done. And the energy stuff really started trickling in for me, because I would be sitting in the audience and the professor would be at the lectern, and, you know, I could see colors around her. It was kind of funny. It was entertaining because, and of course, I couldn't say much of anything.
You didn't share that, right?
I didn't share that because you know, back 40 years ago, if you shared stuff like that, you were on the cusp of woo-hoo, and they would like really, you know, look at you like you had, you know, three heads, maybe three eyes. Well, we do have three eyes, but, you know, our psychic eye, but also our two eyes. But so, you know, it's just like, it was a whole different time and place. So it's like you were kind of in the flow of what was going on at the time, and you just did what you needed to do. And we, you know, flash forward 40 years, we didn't know what we know now 40 years ago about a lot of different things as far as quantum physics and energy and stuff and manipulating time. I mean, this is just phenomenal stuff that are little tools that you could use to, you know, increase your awareness, but also to allow yourself to move in the direction that you need. So in my educational pursuits, you know, going through my bachelor's back in 77 to 81, it was a whole different time and place. And, you know, getting a bachelor's degree in nursing in the 70s and 80s was like the new thing, because at that time we had diploma nurses that were hospital based, but they also had, two-year programs as well. Growing up on the East Coast, I went to Widener University for my undergraduate nursing degree. And it was like one of the top schools in the Middle Atlantic states for nursing and for a four-year nursing program. So they were still, you know, at that time they were anticipating that the BSN was going to be the entry into practice. And, you know, we're still 40 years later, it's still questionable whether it is the entry into practice or whatever. So nursing's kind of funny that way. But, you know, I decided that, you know, that's what I wanted to do. And then shortly after that, I stayed in Philadelphia and worked at Pennsylvania Hospital and Children's Hospital, CHOP of Philadelphia, which was a phenomenal place to learn about, you know, lots of different things. And I always relish the fact that when in nursing, it's like you could really, you know, paint your own picture of what you wanted to do and what you wanted to study. And, you know, I had family members that thought that I was kind of on the crazy side, because I would be changing jobs every two to 3 years. And they said, you need to stay in one place. I said, no, I don't. I said, I'm gathering information and ideas and experiences that if I stayed in one place, it would have stagnated me, I'm sure.
So I want you to hold that thought, Dr. Dolores, because we're going to take a little break right here on Progressive Radio Network. And when we come back, let's delve deeply into all the things that you have written about spiritual wellness for life, what's coming up in your new book, and also your 54 tips to maneuver through the healthcare system, which is vital right now. So thank you so much for being our guest. And listeners, we will be right back with more right here on The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z.
On this edition of The Natural Medicine Chest, we'll discuss the ancient Chinese science and art of acupuncture.
Acupuncture is a 5,000-year-old medical procedure involving insertion and manipulation of needles into specific points on the body. It is often applied to relieve pain during surgery and for many other conditions.
Acupuncture needles have been found in China that are over 4,000 years old. The first needles were made of stone. Later, bronze, gold, or silver was used, and today they are usually made from steel. Acupuncture was developed around the theory of special meridian points on the body connected to the internal organs, and that vital energy, or qi, flows along these meridians. According to this theory, diseases are caused by interrupted energy flow, and the stimulation of these points restores normal energy circulation. There is some scientific evidence of the existence of the meridians as a separate circulatory system. Studies were done in the 1970s by a Dr. Kim from Korea, where he injected radioactive dyes into the traditional acupuncture points. He observed migration of the dyes along the exact predicted path of the meridians.
Okay. How acupuncture works remains uncertain, but both Western and Eastern scientific studies on rabbits have shown that the analgesic effects are not simply a matter of suggestion. After the discovery in 1975 of endorphins, natural pain inhibitors in the body, some neurophysiologists suggested that the needles may trigger the release of these substances. American and Chinese studies have confirmed that placing acupuncture needles in the brains of dogs raises the level of endorphins in the spinal fluid.
Acupuncture is used today in most hospitals in China and by many private practitioners in virtually every country in the world, including the United States. The primary use is for analgesia, although ulcers, hypertension, asthma, and other conditions have been documented to respond favorably to this treatment. Chinese surgeons prefer acupuncture to the use of drug-induced analgesia because they claim it does not disturb normal body physiology and therefore does not make the patient vulnerable to shock. Brain surgery is especially amenable to this form of analgesia when it is necessary to keep the patient awake during the operation.
Although some modifications in the practice of acupuncture have been made, such as sometimes using a small electric current on the needle instead of the traditional twirling, acupuncture remains intact as an ancient therapeutic technique that has been used successfully for at least 5,000 years. Perhaps you'd like to add this piece of knowledge to your natural medicine chest.
Welcome back. Thank you so much for joining us right here on The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z. You can always find us at naturalnurse.com. Check out calendar to see all the up-and-coming classes. They are on ground and online, so wherever you are, you can certainly join us. Our guest today is Dr. Dolores Fazzino, I hope I pronounced that right this time, nurse practitioner and energy medicine specialist. Welcome back, Dr. Dolores. Can you tell us what a DNP is? I know that's one of your many degrees.
Oh, absolutely. Thank you. DNP is a doctorate of nursing practice. It is actually the end degree for an advanced practice nurse. if a person is a nurse anesthetist, a nurse midwife, a clinical nurse specialist, or a nurse practitioner, this is the end educational track for those type of degrees.
So thank you for sharing that. Now let's delve deeply into what you're doing now. Like whatever you'd like to share, for instance, concierge surgical coaching, what's that? And which of your many books would you love to discuss further?
Okay, well, let's talk about the concierge surgical coaching. I love being an entrepreneur, and for me, my business, Recovering Healthcare, it actually creates programs where there's gaps in healthcare. And as we know today, there are many gaps. And with the changing horizon of what healthcare is becoming and where it has been, it's evolving into something different that we probably will not even recognize in the next 5 years because of all the different aspects that are coming in. A lot of it has to do with the financial component of reimbursement from insurances and where hospitals are getting their money. And, you know, a lot of times, too, when we look at patient satisfaction, patients, you know, that's what's driving the success of healthcare is what the patients want and what they're needing. And the concierge surgical coaching program, with my close to 27 years of assisting in surgical procedures as an advanced practice nurse, taking the role over of an assistant surgeon in surgery, I've witnessed a lot of different things and why people sometimes don't seem to heal completely. You know, surgery is great and it's phenomenal. And a lot of our healthcare providers, especially the surgeons, are extremely talented. Yet, I believe that Western medicine doesn't look at the underlying issues that have contributed to that physical state that a person's in. And I'm going to go into a little detail here. Sometimes we have a disconnection within ourselves from our physical body and our brain, and it's also that inner knowingness that we know, that gut feeling we have. So how many times do we ignore that? But it's like that's talking to us all the time. That's one aspect. Another aspect is the emotional part, where a lot of times, like I shared earlier in our conversation, emotions sometimes are not experienced and they get trapped. Emotions are energy that needs to be experienced. It's like if you imagine that there's a pocket of a bubble of energy that's an emotion. When you express that, it kind of dissipates and comes to neutrality. When you ignore it, suppress it, put it on the shelf to deal with later, it's a stored bubble that goes into your energy field. And when your energy field gets full of those, it just goes into the physical and creates problems. So we look at trapped emotions that have never been expressed, but also that are hidden in your heart wall. And, you know, lastly, like your thinking, your beliefs, as far as, you know, what do you say to yourself on a constant basis, that little inner dialogue you have, it's like that affects people's health and well-being as well. So when we address those 75% of the holistic wheel, we actually help people have more of a lasting healing when they have a surgery, or sometimes they don't even need to have a surgery because they realign themselves. So their physical health and wellness is part of that realignment and having healing. So in concierge surgical coaching, I like working with people that know that they're going to have surgery. I like to get them about a month out and start working with them and exploring, you know, what's in the non-tangible, you know, the mental, emotional, and spiritual aspects that possibly could have created the need to have a surgery or have a disease that they created for themselves. And so we kind of unravel that energetic matrix and together, and we look at things, and I offer suggestions and I teach people how to trust that inner knowingness and make the right decisions for them. It's not about doing it for them. It's giving them possibilities and asking them what feels right for you, and teaching them how to feel and trust their emotions and their intuition. And I think one of the best compliments I ever received from a surgeon, because I took her through my program and overview, she sat there and she said, "Oh my God, Dolores, they're actually healed before they come to have surgery." I said, "Ding, ding, ding, bingo, you got it." She got it. So she's one of my biggest promoters as far as doing this. And people have had amazing results after, because, you know, in preparing for surgery, yes, it's a big deal. When you're on the operating room table and you're anesthetized, you are handing over your beingness to those in the room with you. And that is the most intimate aspect of a person, is like when you're anesthetized, it's like when you're a nurse in that room or any other team member in there, it is, you have a real huge responsibility to take care of that soul or spirit that's still in the room, even though the body's anesthetized, because they hear everything.
You know, I just want to bring in somebody that I'm sure you're familiar with, as are all our listeners, because Dr. Oz was always a proponent for that, because I was in many groups, such as the traditional medicine group in Columbia Presbyterian Hospital when he was still doing surgery. He wasn't so famous then. But he actually brought healers in and music in the surgical salon, specifically to care for the person's soul.
Yes. I'm extremely aligned with Dr. Oz and his ideology and his practice.
I want people to know he did this years ago, way before he was the big famous TV star.
And you know what? They looked at him and they were like scratching their head, like, "This guy, cray cray." I know, because a lot of times when people are on the edges of what is, what we know and what we don't know, people want to try to grab you back into, you know, the concrete stuff and evidence-based medicine and evidence-based medicine is constantly evolving. And I know this is kind of an interesting story. I get this a lot from my medical colleagues that, you know, are very indoctrinated in the way that they learn, you know, if it's not evidence-based, it's not really, you know, it's not worthy of looking at. And so many times we are in situations where we know that something is what it is, but we don't have the technology yet to measure that, to prove it.
Yes, but you know what? As you said, Dr. Dolores, now I've been doing this since 1964, just a little bit longer than you. I became a nurse in 73. So even now, the things that are evidence-based, even what you're talking about, like Dr. Larry Dossey's, who's a famous MD and that I'm sure you're familiar with, he did a lot of really well-done evidence-based studies that were print published on, let's say, prayer as a form of energy medicine with measurable better outcomes. So a lot of the evidence is there.
I agree. And still, you know, things are going to come into our energy fields as well as possibilities for the future that we don't have some of the, I want to say, the concrete ways of measuring it.
Correct.
It's an exciting time to be alive and be in, you know, especially our niche in healthcare. So many amazing things have transpired in my career over the last 40 years, just in the way surgery is done. I mean, we rarely do an open procedure like we did 40 years ago. Everything is minimally invasive and with robots and you know, it's the possibilities are endless. It's just, we have to remember to keep that humanness aspect as part of that.
Oh my God, that is so big. Because how about the fact that right now, so often, in just a conventional doctor's office, the doctor's at the computer looking over his or her shoulder at the patient, and the only thing they're doing is searching for codes in the 5 minutes there. They're not smelling the patient, touching the patient. They're actually looking for codes on the computer and looking, glancing at the patient. I mean, this is reality, unfortunately,
it is reality.
Over their shoulder. That's horrendous.
It's horrible. And you know, that's what it has come to. And, you know, I'm not, you know, a proponent of that, believe me, but as an observer and what I've seen transpire in healthcare, it's just like the regulations by insurance companies and the state and federal government mandate that, unfortunately. And they try to have everybody in a standardized procedure, and going back to the holistic approach to health and healing, that's great if everybody had the same experiences in their mental, emotional, and spiritual life.
You cannot even physical, for that matter.
Well, that there you go. And so, you know, my big thing is that I believe everybody's an individual. They come with their own energetic matrix of, you know, their lifetime, basically, that has created things for themselves. We're amazing manifestors as human beings. We, you know, have free will. We get to choose. And people sometimes say, well, we don't have free will. Oh, yes, you do. You are born with a hand of cards to play in your lifetime. And some of those situations may be so horrendous. You're thinking to myself, I signed up for this, really? But the beauty of it is that we have free will to choose how we're going to deal with this and what we're going to do with our lives. Because we've seen many amazing people who, you know, there's a couple of speakers that are on the circuit that have no limbs, but they're amazing motivational speakers. So, you know, it's interesting to watch and see how people, you know, work with what they have. And, you know, yes, becoming a victim to something is a choice, or you could do something with it. That's a choice. So we all have free will and choice in our world. And it's like, what are you going to do? And how are you going to make a difference here on Earth to others?
Yeah, that's always been my guiding light as well. And, you know, that's an interesting concept about how much free will we have versus things that are sort of, you know, destiny. That's a big conversation.
It is. For another time, probably.
Yeah, it is. But, you know, you've written so many books. But what we'll do is we'll take a little break right now. That'll be our last break. And then we'll go into any one of these wonderful books. I know you have one coming up. But people can't get it yet, but we can talk about it. But certainly we can talk about Spiritual Wellness for Life. That would be a wonderful one, or your choice. So we will be right back with more right here on The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z.
Hi, everyone. I'm Gary Null, the founder of the Progressive Radio Network. Today we have more than 80 producers bringing forth the most progressive and most liberating information, the kind of information you do not regularly hear on any of the mainstream or alternative media. You can help us now. Up to this point, I have virtually supported the Progressive Radio Network, all of its expenses and payroll, myself. But we would like to expand our reach. We'd like to do far more. We'd like to be able to advertise on Facebook and let others know we exist. We are the number one progressive radio network in the world. In fact, we have programs that are most listened to in all of progressive radio. But we could go a lot further. Our message can reach a lot more people, especially at a time when people are desperate for honest, objective insights on the important topical issues of our day. How can you help? It's simple. Go to prn.fm, go to our main page. In the upper right-hand corner, you'll see a little button, Support Now. And then whatever you can contribute on a monthly basis will make a big difference. It will help get the message out. It will help inform more people, give them more choices. This is where you'll hear in the independent candidates and the people looking to challenge the corruption in government and industries. But we need to get our reach out further. So please, whatever you can afford on a monthly basis, and there's some suggestions there, and it'll be automatic. All right? Thank you very much for continuing to help us help you and the rest of the world on these important issues.
Thank you.
Hey folks, my name is Jordan Valerie. My pronouns are she, her, hers, and I'm here to tell you about the Millennial Politics Podcast. We speak with the next generation of progressive candidates, activists, and organizations dedicated to restoring our democracy and protecting our civil rights and liberties. Make sure to stay tuned for Tuesday at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on the Progressive Radio Network, to hear the most recent episode of our podcast and follow us on social media and iTunes to stay up to date with everything Millennial Politics.
You are listening to PRN, Progressive Radio Network.
Thank you so much for joining us right here on The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z. We're having a wonderful conversation with our guest, Dr. Dolores Fazzino. You can find her at recoveringhealthcare.com. That's recoveringhealthcare.com. Even looking at her website is healing. And thank you so much for being our guest. So let's go into what made you write your books, and then perhaps some deep information from at least one of your books.
Oh, great. Well, thank you. I love to write. It just comes natural to me. And, you know, for me, I've had so many things happen to me throughout my life that have been like aha moments that I've just felt it was really important to share those, because you never know what you write or say is how it's going to affect somebody else. And you might have the piece of the puzzle that's, you know, a necessity for somebody else to have them move on in life. So I really encourage people to, you know, write and share their stories. And I love stories. And when I speak publicly, I always tell many stories in my talks, because people really can resonate with that and they get it, because that's the common link, I think, with people is storytelling. We learn so much from each other about, you know, our humanness, our human nature, and they're really gifts for other people as well. I chose to write my first book, Spiritual Wellness for Life, because I had so many personal and professional stories that I felt that left me thinking, oh my gosh, this is amazing, because it's just a little on the esoteric side, but it ties into normal life. If you're willing to listen and just connect with that inner knowingness, you're guided and you're given amazing opportunities. And we think sometimes that they're the exceptions to the rule, but what I know now in my life, they really are the new reality. Miracles are happening every day for so many people that people think, oh, it's a miracle. No, this is how life is supposed to be. We've been duped into believing that working hard in life and having challenges and, you know, you have to make something happen or being in a state of doing is what normal is. And no, we've been duped into believing that that's what normal is, and it's not. So in Spiritual Wellness for Life, I share about stories that, you know, of course, the story of my father and his healing, that's like a cornerstone piece of that, because it just gives people the hope and faith that things can happen, even though when you don't believe they can. It's right. Like the universe is always trying to prove us wrong, prove our egos wrong if we let him. Let our ego and our guard down. So, yes. I also want to talk about my other book, Help, How Do I Get the Most Out of My Healthcare Experience?
Right.
You know, this came out of a gap in healthcare, so to say, through recovering healthcare. I live in Encinitas, California, which is, you know, on the opposite coast of where my parents were in Florida when they were still alive. And I love my parents, and you know, the umbilical cord always stretched 3,000 miles. It always stretches, as you know, it stretches. It's like you think you're away from your parents, but you never are. It's an energy thing. So I would empower coach them from 3,000 miles away in regards to their health care. And I was always, and it still puzzles me to this day, how complex our healthcare system is, that even as a healthcare practitioner, I find it challenging to maneuver through. And I can't even imagine somebody who doesn't have any healthcare experience attempting to maneuver through it. It's really tough. So I came up with 54 little tips to help people, you know, get the most out of their healthcare experience and you know, actually give them solutions to simple things. So it's written for the layperson. I had my parents in mind, because how many times do we think that, you know, you have a doctor and you have to be married to them for life? And that's not true. And a lot of people think that, you know, they can't change their doctors. And so I always, you know, talk about choosing your healthcare provider. It's like you're dating them. You need to find out if it's
that's
a good
cute.
Fit, and they're going to work, and whether or not they're a good fit. And it's just like, because you want somebody who's going to be aligned with the way you think and the way you feel about things, and is going to be, you know, more of an advocate for you. You know, we've all had situations where you go into the doctor and the doctor's saying you need to do X, Y, and Z, or, you know, or else, and they put a lot of fear into people. And, you know, that's a whole nother issue, but I'm a firm believer that a lot of times our healthcare professions create problems for people. Because people take that on as their reality when it may not be. And, you know, we're amazing manifestors. Whatever you focus your attention on, you're going to create. So if a person says, or a physician says, well, you know, you're going to have a heart attack and stuff like that, you know, the people buy into that, I'm going to have a heart attack. So guess what they create? I'm going to have a heart attack, and they have one. It's as simple as that. Believe me. And I've gone through that personally in dealing with physicians. I'm my primary care doctor's worst nightmare.
Me too. Me too. Or I will use a primary care doctor to do what I want. You know,
exactly.
Like write a prescription for sonograms. Exactly. I personally don't get mammographies. And I tell them what to do. And they do usually do it. And if not, you fire them because you are the employer.
Exactly. So this book is about empowering people to make the right choices and to tell them. I touch on a variety of things, from when you need to find your first doctor, how to keep your medical records, and if you need to have surgery, what you might need to do. Touch a little bit on complementary and alternative. And most importantly, I talk about them in dealing with insurances, and when you are, you know, don't have insurance, and how you can negotiate with different people in order to get, and a lot of times people don't know you can negotiate to get a lower price. So I teach them all of that in this book. And there's little videos that are embedded in that. So if you link onto, you know, the link on the bottom, you could get more information about specific topics. So that is, I call it my resource book, and it really helps people, especially if there's nobody in your family that's in healthcare, because you're really a sitting duck. That's the way I look at it, because it's like you really need to have some type of resource or some type of idea. And it's, like I said, it's written very simply. There's like maybe 3 or 4 bullet points underneath each topic. And people have really enjoyed that. And then I just want to talk further more about this new book that's coming out. I, being an empath, intuitive, and highly sensitive person, have always been sensitive to the fact that I'm not really sure why I'm here. It's just like I don't fit in. I am so sensitive that sometimes it's working against me, and I just don't know what to do with this. So this book is really geared for people who are empaths, intuitives, and highly sensitive people, because I always wondered when I was growing up, where's the manual that I was supposed to come with, because I'm not fitting in here. I need to know. And so it's about putting together your own personal manual on how to learn how to move beyond surviving to thriving, because I believe people who are empaths, intuitives, and highly sensitive people are here for a specific reason on earth. They're here to teach people how to how to feel, because we have a society that will do anything possible to avoid that. And so once people realize that they have these special gifts, it's teaching them how to have them work with them. And it's really simple, you know, and so I help and coach people doing that. And what I'm really excited to share is that I give webinars on a regular basis, and it's called Calling All Empaths, Intuitives, and Highly Sensitive People. And I educate them about being an empath, intuitive, and what they can do, and with simple tools. And I'm also putting together a retreat in May of this year in beautiful Mount Shasta. It's a 5-day retreat it's called The Five Pillars of Extreme Self-Care, and it's for empaths, intuitives, and highly sensitive people, and those who feel. And it's there for them to have extreme self-care, because when you are very empathic and intuitive, you take on a lot of energy, and learning how to maneuver your boundaries and how to take care of you so you could show up as the best version of you is essential. And once people are able to grasp that, they do amazing things. And many of our healthcare providers are empaths, intuitives, and highly sensitive people. That's what makes nursing what it is. They feel, they connect.
Yes, many people were drawn to nursing for exactly that reason. And so it's so interesting that I have found that many of the nurses I work with, and everyone, you know, gets involved in the spiritual aspects of life later. And you are unique in that actually you were there first, and then you chose nursing as a professional career, and get to the point that you have gotten to. We know for sure you had to kind of turn off that spiritual focus to focus on giving them the answers they wanted, even if you on a spiritual level did not always agree with them, in order to have the facility of the high level of degrees and influence that you're able to have through having those degrees. I tell a lot of young nurses that, because they get frustrated and want to leave when the training does not involve recognizing those higher spiritual principles.
You're spot on with that. And, you know, a lot of times it's just you have to do what you need to do to get started. And, you know, a lot of nurses get frustrated with the fact that sometimes after they graduate, they get their first job, and it's important for them to stay there for at least 2 years, just to get a good foundation of what's going on. And then from there, they could branch out and do anything that they want. Get that foundational experience. You'll never regret that.
So much.
That's going to be essential. So essential.
And they're just,
you know, I tell people to just suck it up for a little bit. It'll be worth it.
I say the same thing. So Dr. Dolores, we're actually at the end of our time together. So I would like you to give our audience parting words, and also your website and best way to connect with you.
Absolutely. Well, you know, first of all, thank you for being here. And, you know, I think the best thing that I could tell people is just keep moving forward. The universe has your back more in more ways than you can imagine. Just learn how to trust that inner knowingness. That will never lead you astray. It'll get you to your next steps. And the best way to get in touch with me is through my website, and the email address is info@recoveringhealthcare.com. And if you're interested in coming to the Mount Shasta Retreat, May 15th to the 20th, there is my website for that, and it's events.recoveringhealthcare.com, and I invite you to come and explore. And, you know, just be your shining self. Each one of you is a light that just shines a beacon for others to offer hope and inspiration, and just continue shining your light.
Thank you so much, Dr. Dolores Fazzino, and thank you for listening. Thank you, listeners, and on behalf of myself, Ellen Kamai, the natural nurse, and Dr. Eugene Samperone, stay healthy, and we're wishing you the best. Stay healthy.